Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Teek and I want to thank you all for tuning in to tonight's show. We're going to move forward quickly into our topic tonight, try to do that now that football season is in. But again, we'll stay on as long as we have you with us. We're going to stay on and keep it going. First of all, I just want to take care of a few housekeeping issues. I'm going to go ahead and open the chat line, if you'll bear with me. I'm going to do that right now. Okay. For those of you who are listening online through the Blog Talk Radio website, remember you must be a registered follower of the show in order to submit a question or a comment to Tika and I tonight. If you're not registered already and you don't want to take the time to do that, what you can do is just call in, as some of our callers may be, most of our listeners are do call in. So you can dial in to the 818-691-7406 number, and that will get you through live. You only need to select the number 1 if you have a question or a comment, in which we hope you do tonight. So remember, you only have to select that number 1 if you do have a question or a comment, and you can do it at any time during the show. So you don't have to wait until we open it up. We keep it open, so we encourage you to just pop in when you feel the need to. We will identify you when we bring you in. For those of you new listeners, we'll identify you or bring you in by identifying the area code that you're calling from. If you're calling from Memphis, it will be 901. And the last 4 digits of your number. So if you're calling from Atlanta, we may bring you in 678. I see 678 out there, and I see 229, which is Georgia. And I even see Nashville, so that's the way that we'll bring you in. But remember, we'll give you your last 4 digits of the number. And if you're like me, you might want to write those down, because I just don't know my number. I have to always think about it. So that's how we'll bring you in. Want to remind you all of the trash can. We're going to continue to encourage you all to do this. So I'll go over this each show, because again, we always have new people tuning in, and we have others that may listen after the show that don't know about that concept. But if you or someone in your family, or maybe you decided, as we suggested many times, maybe you decided as a family to do this together, if you did, we really would like to hear from you on that. Tika and I both have did it, and I constantly do it now, and I just moved it again because I felt like I was getting in that routine again. And thus far, this week, or I should say last week, I only went back to where it used to be once. So pretty good shape. I don't know what that really means, but pretty good shape as far as how many times I'm going back. So I encourage you all, for our repeat listeners, if you've not did it, please do so. For our new listeners, basically what this is we ask that you move your trash can or something that you typically, or that is typically never really moved, that you wouldn't ordinarily move. And as you do this, monitor and log it, how many times you return to where the old location, where it used to be, basically. So if you move your trash can from your restroom, you know, to a different location, monitor how many times you go back there, and think about how you go back with not much thought process. You don't have to put a lot of thought process before you know it, or before you realize it, or you don't realize it until you are dropping something. As Tika said, I think last week, she realized, because it was just paper on the floor. I mean, she just go right back to where it used to be, and you don't really think about it until you get there and think, oh, I moved it. I could just almost see Tika's face, I moved the trash can. So just think about that and do that. If you have not, and if you've been listening to us for some time now and you've not did that, shame on you. Okay, so just think about that, because it's really easy. That might seem so elementary, But it is so easy, people, to really get caught up to routine, and it allows you to see how we pick, how our mind keeps track of our habits and our patterns. So it is really a good exercise to do, and move things around your house as well. It kind of helps us just get used to change. So I hope that someone did that, and we'll share it. And if you haven't, I hope that, or we hope that you will. So it just feels better sometimes to stay in your rut, to stay where you are, because you know it. You know the person, if it's dealing with the person. You know the situation. So you have this perception of what to expect, how you're going to feel, and so it's easy to get caught up. So move your trash cans. So that's all we have for the housekeeping tips or concerns that we have. So I just want to, again, thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We're going to move right into tonight's topic, which is words have power, with emphasis on the truth shall set us free. So this is going to be a unique one. I was just telling Tika that I have this just weird analogy. I think it's weird, and you guys probably would think the same and think it's quite funny, but we'll bring that a little bit into the show. Well, let's start. I think it's necessary to start, as we often do, with just kind of defining some words here. And, again, the topic is words have power, with emphasis on the truth shall set us free. So we're going to look at words, power, the truth, or truth, and then free. And we're going to look at some more as we move through it, but let's start with those. Starting with words, basically that's conversation, the conversation that we speak, and we tend to think of that as what as the words that we speak to others. But as we go through tonight's topic, the direction that I'm going to take, and Tika is going to take it in a different area, but the words that I'm the way that we're taking it here for right now is internalizing, the words that we internalize. I'm going to also incorporate the ones that we put out as well. But think about words have power. So basically words is just the conversation that we speak. Information or news about somebody or something is what it's defined as. But again, I'd like for you to also think about the words, not just basically about somebody or something. Think about you. So the words that bring power to your life. So that's basically what words, the definition of word is. And then power is the next word that we want to define. The ability or capacity to perform or act effectively. Think about that word, effectively. The ability or strength and capacity to do something, so the power to do something. Control and influence over other people and their actions. And as you think about that one, think about the power that you give away. And think, reverse that. What control and influence does others have over your life through the words that they speak over you or that you allow, or maybe even more importantly, the words that you internally speak that you don't release? And you'll understand that a bit more as we go through. But words that mean the same as power is control, authority, and influence, okay? And I ask you to ask yourself this. I'll read that again. Words that mean the same as the word power is control, authority, and influence. Think about you and your life. The show is really about you tonight. How much of this, how much control, how much authority, how much influence does the words you speak internally, how much control do you have over that in your life? Okay, so far we got words, power. Now let's look at truth. Truth is being in one accord with fact or reality. So it's basically being in just your truth, identifying with your reality. The thing that corresponds to fact or reality is truth. So something that corresponds, or the thing that corresponds to fact or reality, a statement that corresponds to fact or reality, so making true statements, truth shall set you free, and then sincerity in action, character, okay, the state of being the case. So it's just factual. Reality is another one. Because it means, again, truth and reality are kind of there together, and it's, again, basically your truth. And, again, we're talking about, we want you to really internalize this topic tonight. And reality is actual being or existence, all that exists or happens, being in tune with that, everything that actually does or could exist or happen in real life, in your life. So it's about being in touch with your reality, the quality of your actual being, your actual truth, opposed to those imaginary things, those things that we idealize, that false picture of us. So your reality. So, again, opposed to an imaginary or idealized or false perception of your life. So those are, I want to look at one more. And again, because we're including the true self set you free or set us free, we're going to look at free, and that's basically in the concept many people or most people will think free meaning, you know, you don't have to pay anything. And I wanted to include that in because when we talk about our lives and being free, sometimes it does cost us some things. We have to let go of some things. So it does cost it. We have to let go. We have to live in our truth. You just can't exist and think, oh, all of this is going to go away. You know, I think some people think they walk through life and, you know, nothing matters, but I think they internalize a lot and it comes out in different ways. So being free, again, not costing anything, not kept prisoner or no longer physically bound or restrained as a prisoner or slavery. And that may make you think about, you know, jail or someone holding you captive. But think again about how we internalize things and we hold ourselves or we keep ourselves in bondage through the words that we internalize, the words that we put out, and so forth. And you'll understand that as we move a little bit deeper into the topic. Two more for free, not restricted in rights, not subject to censorship or control by a ruler, government, or others. Authority over you, okay? Not controlled by obligation or the will of another. And that's probably the best one for free, not controlled by obligation or the will of another. This actually makes me think about, and for our repeat listeners, you all remember when we did, I think it was The Making of a Slave, Frederick Douglass, when he said, you know, they have not been able to, or I will not allow them to enslave my mind. And so we don't have to be enslaved through words or anything else. And if Frederick Douglass could do it at that time with everything going in, how much more can we do with our life, with being this microwave world and having access, immediate access to almost everything? So I believe he had to encourage himself with words, with powerful, positive words. I doubt very seriously that he used negative, that he internalized those negative things. Because if he did, then his mind probably would have been in slavery as well. So I know that this seems a little bit elementary. We've just kind of defined some real simple words. I think for the most part people think words are simple, and I get it and understand. But the more and more, Tika, and I dig into, I guess, preparing for these shows, I think we realize just how much even we think we understand that we don't once we start digging deep. We start looking more into things and we think, I thought I knew all about this. Just the most simple things, as we just went over free. The example, or the best example I gave you, not controlled or obligated to the will of others. A word that means the same as free is unrestricted, allowed, or permitted. Okay, and the opposite, which I think is really important to also sometimes in order to understand, look and see what the opposite means. And the opposite of unrestricted, which means the same as free, the opposite of that, of course, is restricted, which means limited, controlled, regulated, and constrained. And I think we are, for the most part, a lot of us are walking around restricted. We're restricting, allowing our lives to be restricted. We're cutting off some of our purpose and our blessings, and just we're walking around just not living life, and that's what this show is about, dying to live. What's keeping you there? So this basically means that we're free. We're living in freedom. So we are, and when we're unrestricted, that means we're not imprisoned. We're not enslaved, okay? So I am going to, I want to stop there, Tika, and then I'll come in with a little bit more with my weird analogy, and then we'll go from there. And the lines are open, you guys. Watika is coming on. I'm going to check the chat. So if you all listen on chat and you have a comment or a question, please, please, at this time, get it in. And once Tika is done with her introduction part, I'll get that out there. But the lines are open as well. Tika?
Okay. Well, you wanted to introduce your different analogy after I bring my part in?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, what I wanted to bring to the show tonight, of course, I'm hoping and praying that this is a show of empowerment. You know, some of our shows tend to be deep, and some are, you know, I feel this one to be the part of the research that I brought to it. It's just more of I want to just give you something to think about, put some questions, you know, in your mind and in forms of just seeds that I want you to think and ask yourself. Because with knowing that the truth shall set you free, of course, you know, we're talking about the freedom, the mental freedom, because you're not free. If you're not free in your mind, you're not free in anything else, because bondage is in the mind. When we're in bondage, it's not a, you know, some bondage is physical, but if I'm free as far as I can go where I want to go and work where I want to work and go to the grocery store when I want to go to the grocery store and lay down when I want to lay down, I'm free in my personal life, but the bondage is in my mind. So the freedom that we are really trying to express tonight is a mental freedom, you know, chains, that's a form of bondage, just every form of mental bondage you can think of, whether it's jail, whether it's steel bars or chains. However you look at it, it's chains of the mind, and we talk about this so much because it's even something that on a daily basis I have to make sure to keep my mind focused on the right thing, because even with all the studying I do, with all the research I do, and with all the tests that I've passed, it's still a continual process. But I wanted to start my portion with the scripture that brings these words to life. And that's written in John 8:31-32. And it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One thing I want to bring to my portion is the truth, meaning the truth in his word. Our truth is not always aligned with God's word. Our truth comes from our upbringing. Our truth comes from our way of thinking. Our truth comes from our perception. Our truth comes from our internal paradigms. We don't see things the way other people see things. Even if we grew up in the same house, up under the same roof, up under the same parenting, no matter what, our perceptions will be different. Our paradigms will be different. Our truths will be different. And in order to get to a place of wholeness, your truth, you have to become, you have to get to a place of having one truth. One truth meaning God's truth in his word. In this, it shows that the truth is written. In everything we're faced with, no matter what challenge we have, if you're struggling, you know, with issues in adultery, there's an area in the Bible. It is written. If you're dealing with fear, there's an area in the Bible that you go to because it is written. If you're dealing with unforgiveness, there's a place that you can go to in the Bible. It is written in everything and every circumstance that you're dealing with. It is written. It is written. It is a word. It is a scripture. It is life-giving words in the Bible. When Tammy is brought to the show, speaking of words, I want to also bring another scripture because we have a lot of times we don't realize the power of words, and we use the word power because they have power. We think words just come in black and white and they just something that's on paper, or we let them just roll off of our tongues and come through our mouths. But I've said on a show in the past, we're created and designed in God's image. And when God spoke and said, let there be light, there was light because he spoke it into existence. He spoke it with words. And since we're created in his image, we are co-creators. we co-create our lives. We co-create what takes place in our lives. We co-create what's around us. We co-create our futures. Even though God is in control, he has the master plan, but we co-create with our mouths. Our mouths take the form of what is in our thoughts. Our mouths take the form of what's in our thoughts in the form of words. And so Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. So words have power. Words have power. I've introduced this once before as well. When it's something that we really want, we speak against. And when it's something that we don't want, we give it life by speaking of it. If you don't want to struggle, if you don't want to be not faced with adversity, because no matter what, you're going to go through that. But I say, for instance, just as an example, if you want to be safe on your travels and when you're going out of town, you want to be safe and you pray that, you know, you're carrying all this money, you're carrying all these luggage, you pray, to be safe. You want to be safe and you want this to be an enjoyable trip. You don't want to be attacked or robbed or mugged or anything like that. That's something that you would pray and not want to give it life by speaking of it. But when you take the words from your mouth that come through your mind by speaking life and giving it life by saying, well, I know this is going to happen, or I know that is going to happen. When it's focused in negativity, you're giving it life. You're giving that negative thought life. You're giving those words of negativity life. You're giving those pessimistic words life. You're speaking life into what you don't want to happen. And we do it all the time unconsciously. We will say, well, I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to be able to finish this. I can't accomplish this. I tell this to my children all the time, and I have to tell it to myself all the time, but our words have power, and that's not what I'm saying. That's just what his word says. Our words have power, and we give power to them through the thoughts that are in our minds. That's why God says to keep our thoughts, bring our thoughts captive to his word, meaning if it contradicts his words, don't think on it, because whatever you think, whatever you constantly keep in your mind, you will bring to life, because you're going to speak from your mouth what's in your mind. And once you speak it, you set up the universal you set up the universal rhythm to create that powerful word to manifest. There's an ebb and flow in life. There's a rhythm in the way this world works. There's laws that govern our world. Laws that are beyond your understanding. But even in that, our words have power. I just, more than anything, want to stress how powerful our words are. When it is something that you do want, whether it's I want to get a better education, or I want to get a better job, or I want to take my children on a vacation this year. We don't say things like, well, you know what, this year I'm going to do something different. I'm going to take my children on a vacation. We're going to do this or do that. No, we'll speak death over it, and we'll say, I won't be able to have that. I won't be able to do that. We won't be able to go here. So we speak death over the things that we want to happen, and the things that we don't want to happen, we give it life. In turn, we don't give it the proper words. So that's why God says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. If you believe that you can fly, if you believe that you can persevere and soar above your circumstances, if you believe that you can, because it starts with a belief. And whatever you believe will take the form of words. And then your words cause your body, cause your deeds to line up with your words. So it goes together. It begins with a thought. Whatever you think, whatever you believe, you will bring it to life through your words. And with your words, your actions will follow. So if you say, I can do this, I will persevere, I will not quit, you can do it simply because you said that you can. But if you believe that you're a victim of your circumstances, if you believe that, you know what, whatever the world has told me that I can and cannot have, if you believe the lies that the world gives you, and I say the lies that the world gives you because we mistake the truth for lies, and we mistake lies for the truth in the world's form, not in God's form, but the world, whatever the world tells us, we believe it as truth, and we believe it as real, and it becomes our truth. But the same world that tells you that the truth are lies and lies are truth is the same world that tells you that love hurts, you know, and we all know that we cannot focus on the world's truth because you do not want to be a part of the majority. The majority is not going to take the road less traveled. The majority always takes the road of, even though God gives us free will, they take the road that they want to. They take the road that will make them feel good. They take the road that will make them look good. They take the road that will make them appear to be who they want to be in their minds or in other people's minds. They do not take the road less traveled. And so if you believe that you can simply because it's your belief. But if in that same mindset, if you believe that you can't, it's your belief. And whatever you say you can do, you can do. And whatever you say you can't do because you gave it life. You gave it life in your mind. Then you gave it life with your words. And then your words will cause your body to follow the actions that you spoke into existence. This seems extremely simple, but it's more powerful than you can wrap your mind around. It's more powerful than anything that I believe we studied over or had our shows on in the past. The power of life and death is in the tongue.
Okay. Thanks, Tika. And, again, you guys, the lines are open, so if you want to comment or have a question on anything that Tika and I have said thus far, please, now is the time to get it in. We will continue to monitor the lines. And for those of you who are listening online as well, we see you there. So if you have a chat or if you have a have something you want to submit to the chat, please feel free to do so. As we move back, again, stay with us here on Words. And I agree with Tika. This is so important because I hope after we go through all of our little weird things and sayings and analogies that you will see what words may seem like such a small, it's what a five, well, just a four-letter word if you just say word. But if you say words, it's just a five-letter word. But what we say and what we do not say activates, like as Tika said, it really activates our life or deactivates our lives. So think about it in that sense. Initially, for me, I thought I would want to address this with no real focus, just kind of, or in one particular area. But after, you know, kind of soaking in this topic yesterday, and that's basically what I did for hours, it just kind of hit me yesterday to just kind of stay on. And then with the help of one of our listeners, a question that she asked me, it just kind of made me want to touch base on relationships and how words empower our relationship with ourselves and with others. And the relationship that I wanted to put more focus on was a love relationship, because those are the things that create, that love relationship creates a family. You know, it is every desire, I think, I shouldn't say everybody's desire, but for the most part, I think women for sure, and I think men, a lot more men than we give credit to, they want a meaningful relationship. I think we're designed to want that. So just stay with us here. Again, words have power. Think about words and think about relationship, and the truth shall set you free or set us free as we go through and move through tonight, the rest of the show. I think this is going to be even better because regardless if it's a love relationship, all of us have to deal with some form of a relationship as a whole, whether it's with a parent, whether it's on the job, a sibling, or so on. So you will be able to apply this in other ways because most of life stems from a relationship we've had or we're going to have, and certainly even our relationship with God. Tika spoke about, you know, it is written. So true. I mean, and I'm going to speak about that a little bit later, how the power of God's word, the power that even that we miss sometimes of how it should affect our lives. We don't we're not operating or living in the power of those words. So much to keep in mind, but just stay with us as we go through. And as I go into the rest of mine, I want to ask, I'm going to ask this question, why are we, or why do you feel, for the most part, we are afraid or we choose to restrain from speaking the truth? Even sometimes in the smallest things, sometimes we just will not speak the truth. And that seems to be the world that's in the workplace, that's in the homes. We are just not speaking the truth, which means we are not living the truth either. So think about this quote as well. The question was, why do you think, and if someone wants to answer that now, certainly feel free to do so, but why do you think people are, or we as a society are afraid, or we choose to restrain from speaking the truth? And this is a quote that we used in describing the show, and I want you to think about this as well, or keep this in your mind as we move through. Seek the truth and it shall set you free. Speak the truth and it shall set others free. So seek the truth and it shall set you free. Speak the truth and it shall set others free. Now, again, this question we'll answer it as we move through, but let's look at a few areas and try to understand the power of what we speak, and again, of what we do not speak, particularly in a relationship. And again, I selected relationship because I think most of our lying or the untruth, whether it's spoken or not spoken, I just think a lot of things are not said in relationships. And then on the other side, on the other hand, I think there's a lot of words that are spoken that we really don't mean. We speak them out of frustration, out of disappointment. As Tika said earlier, sometimes that could stem from our childhood, things that we've not gotten over, things that we think this person is supposed to be able to make better or make us feel better. So I think a lot of our untruth lies in relationships. And again, relationships are very important in life. Those people who don't have them want them, and the people who want them, seemingly today, they're looking for another one, or they want to get out of the one that they're in. And I think, again, we can bring that back to some form of words, whether it be spoken words, unspoken words, untruth, not being intact with your reality, and so forth. So remember the quotes as we move through. And also think about this one, lying. Kind of said this early, but lying is done with words and also in silence. And that's a quote by Adrienne Rich. Lying is done with words and also in silence. And the reason we're throwing that in, because the truth shall set us free. And if we're lying with our words, whether they're in silence or not, a lie is a lie is a lie and gets us nowhere. Again, I feel like the lies that we tell, or the silence, those silent lies are the things that we don't speak. I think they have more power in our lives or over our lives than sometimes the things that we do speak, okay? So that quote says, lying is done with words and also in silence. Sometimes we think because we're holding those words in, we're doing someone just, or and we're doing ourselves just as well, but we're not. We're not unrestricted. We're not operating in truth. Actually, I think it restricts us. And remember, that was one of the words that we defined earlier. So actually, I think it restricts us more. Words have power, and the truth shall set you free, again, is what we're talking about. So as I go through this analogy, I want you guys to really keep your mind on that because of the approach I'm going to take. And let's start with this. In a relationship, what if we were brutally, and think about words, what if we were brutally honest about what we wanted and needed from each other in a relationship from the start? That could include what we're looking for, and we would describe in words. We would tell this person in honesty through our words what we're looking for, what our fears are, and why we possess those fears, what our weaknesses are. Maybe we definitely want to tell the person if they did something to offend us, to hurt us. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. That goes back to not verbalizing words as well. So notice the power that could be created here. Notice the misperceptions that could be created here that produce power in your life. Okay? What if we explained our insecurities, our flaws, Notice again, all these words have power in your life. They produce meaning and power in your life. I would call this, and I did this in an exercise over the weekend, but I would call this my ingredients or your ingredients. So here's the analogy. I kind of picture yourself. I picture me on a box that has all these things listed, all my ingredients listed. Okay, so the person knows exactly what he or she is getting from an aspect of appearance. Okay, so I'm on this box. I have these ingredients listed that tell about me. They kind of describe the picture, kind of says what you're getting. So what we're going to ask you, this is a new exercise, kind of like the trash can, and we're going to explain a little bit more as we go. List what your ingredients are. What makes you you? And I'm going to share, I did this exercise with three people this past weekend, and I'm going to share what some of the people told me. And these are words. I wanted them to give me words that describe me. We challenge you to do that just as you're moving your trash can. And we ask you to list your own ingredients, the words that you think drive you or give you power internally, and then what you possess, what you project to others, okay? And then, more importantly, ask someone to do that for you as well. Ask a number of people and see if you get some consistency in the words that describe you. And maybe it will read something like this. So pay attention, real careful to these words. Again, words have power. So what if someone said, or what if, try to find yourself in some of these words. What would be your ingredients? Pick a couple that would describe you. Insecure, disappointment, low self-esteem, people pleaser, easily hurt, victim of emotional, sexual, or physical abuse. Listen to these words, of course. Full of childhood hurt and pain, broken, full of unforgiveness, full of fear, victim mentality, bound by my past sins, feeling of unworthiness, divorced, two failed marriages, single mother, single father, uneducated, people pleaser, again, I think I said that one, and divorce would fall again under two failed marriages. And ladies may say, and I'm saying ladies because this is something that I hear over and over and over again from ladies, and it has no age limit. But ladies may say, you know, I didn't have my father in my life. I don't feel loved by my father. I've never felt loved by my father. So how could you be any different? And keep in mind, we're talking about what words do in relationships. So ladies may say, you know, I've been sexually abused. It could be a number of things. So if you heard anything in that list of words that you would write down as some of your ingredients, some of those things that you are internalizing, I provided several, and I wanted you to pay close attention to those. They are negative ingredients. All those seem to be negative, or what the world would project as negative. Most importantly, it's probably what we would internalize as negative as well. It'd be those things that we keep inwardly, but we're not projecting, or we try not to project outwardly. So we're internalizing those negative words, but we're trying to project to others the more positive things that we wish we were. So that's why I started out with imagine yourself on, you got the picture of you on that box with some ingredients. They're the ones that either, it depends, if you're internalizing those negative words, or are you now in your groove, so to speak, and you're operating in those positive words, and you're being powered by those positive aspects. It's like Tika was saying, you know, if you want to go on a vacation, don't speak death over that. Speak life over that. That's the same thing we need to do internally. If some of those negative aspects, if you are, some of us have been hurt so much as a child, and sometimes through words, or sometimes just by things that we've perceived wrong, and that could be in our adult life as well. And that's what I think is meant by a lie is a lie is a lie. And I think the biggest lie is the one that is kept in silence, because it really could be a misinterpretation, it could be miscommunicated, but if we never talk, if we never speak about it, then what power is it possessing in your life? It may seem like a four-letter word, a five-letter word, but what power is it possessing in your life? And I think, although I did provide the negatives first, I think that's what we do first in our lives. We focus on the negative, the circumstances. We focus on what's going on negatively. What obstacles or challenges have I had? It's me, me, me. It's me, me, me. How am I going to get past all these things, all these words? If you start looking at them as words that I can either allow to empower me or to keep me in bondage. So we focus, again, on our circumstances and the shoulda, woulda, couldas, okay? Again, I provided those because the negatives first because I wanted you to think about what we do first, what we focus on first. Like Tika said, we speak death before we speak life. Maybe that's just our human nature, but we got to retrain our minds, renew our minds to, as Tika said, it is written. For every circumstance that you come up against, for all those negative things that I listed, I guarantee you, you can go find a scripture that says, it is written. And it can bring life to that situation. Now, let's look at the more positive things, some of the things, positive words that we could incorporate in our lives that could generate a different type of power. Here they are, loving, and this is some ingredients. These are ingredients still. Think of them as ingredients for the sake of my weird analogy that's coming. Think of them as ingredients, loving, kind, love children, loyal, honest, very hard worker, great mother, great father, great grandmother, passionate, I'm an overcomer, desire to be in a fulfilling and meaningful relationship, worthy of happiness and peace, I'm motivated, I'm intelligent, I'm witty, I'm beautiful, I have a great personality, I'm family-oriented, and these are all things that just could be a part of you. I'm not saying I'm all these things. Easily gets along with others, God-fearing person. So those are the positives. So think about the negatives that I did earlier. Now, listen to those positive things and think about if those were the things that you internalized, if you focused on, if you kept your mind on, if you said it is written that I am all these things. No, that doesn't mean I'm without circumstances and situations, but those are the positive things. Those are the ingredients that's going to match the picture that's on my box. So, again, when we internalize all those negative things, but here's where I think the problem comes with our words that we either internalize or that we project out. We're so busy internalizing one thing, which is usually those negatives, because it just seems that's what's going on today. We're focused on circumstances rather than coming out of them. And then once we internalize one thing, we're trying to project another to others. So we're being controlled by others because we're putting out one thing and we're internalizing another. We can't see ourselves beyond those negative things in life that we perceive of ourselves or that someone else has made us think we are. Okay, so we need to really focus on if you're not where you want to be, if those negative words are part of your life, because we don't want you to be outside of your truth and your reality. It's just, okay, now how do I change this? How do I start speaking life? How do I start speaking those positive words? And maybe not even how, just when. Because I think we know, for the most part, we know God's word, we've read it. Somehow when it comes to activating it, I think we are failing because it seems like even when it comes to God's word, I always hear people say, well, it's just fulfillment of the Bible. You hear somebody has killed their mom. Well, it's just fulfillment of the Bible. Somebody's killed their child. Well, the Bible says it's going to happen. The Bible promised a lot of things that are not bad. So why is it that we can focus on that negative power so easily, even when it comes to the spiritual word? This whole thing kind of reminded me, too, for those of you who have listened to you know, many of the shows. We had Erica Murray on the show, and she asked the question, are you a cohesive whole or a collection of compartments? I'm going to speak more on this, but in saying that, she's basically asking, who are you? You know, who are you, and are you that person all the time? But if you're one person inside, if you feel like I'm not worthy, but you're trying to portray that I am and I'm not hurting and I'm all this, somebody's going to get the wrong thing in that relationship. Somebody is going to get the wrong box, the wrong package. Remember that quote, lies are done in words and also in silence. And some of us internalize those words and they produce that power, but we don't talk about them. We don't seek help for them. We don't try to change them. And a lie told long enough or believed long enough or negative words told to yourself and told long enough becomes your truth. You start to feel like there's no way out. This is it. This is my reality. Some people have told a lie and lived a lie for so long until it really is their life. Tegan and I have talked about this too. You know, people really believe sometimes the truth, the lie that it's become the truth, but it started out a lie, but it has become their truth. So, again, think about the ingredients and scenario. Tika, you want anything to add to that? I don't want to be long-winded there.
Well, in the relationship category, when you were pulling both sides, the one thing I wanted to add to that, because the majority of the time, because of course we're talking about words and the power of life and, you know, the power of those words, but how no matter what, your words are tied to your action, because your words are tied to your thoughts and your words are also tied to your action. It begins with a thought, it becomes a word, and then your actions will always follow. But when we're talking about relationships, I believe I've been doing a lot of research in relationships, and a lot of times, like I said, we are all a product of our environments, every last one of us. A lot of us have an environment that we wouldn't repeat, you know, even if we were paid to repeat it, we wouldn't repeat it. And some of us, our environments and our upbringing, our experiences were good, but there's still something that we want to do over or we don't want to repeat or we want to make better. It's not something that you just grew up in that you, most of us just want to say, you know what, I just want to mirror that. I want to do it exactly as it was done. There's always that opportunity to get better. So in when you were speaking of the relationships and relationships that usually where it's an unhealthy a tug of war, it's some form of insecurity. There's always a form of insecurity there. The insecurity being because we are products of our environment, and whatever took place in your family as a childhood, whatever you witnessed or whatever you saw, however you saw your mother deal with your dad or the lack of your dad being there, however you saw your mama deal with that, that's how you usually deal with it when you grow up, and vice versa with the men, however they saw their daddy dealing with something or the lack of their father being there, him not being there. It's not, a lot of times we take something, and even though we may say, well, I want to make sure I don't repeat what happened, sometimes we not only repeat it, but we make worse because we don't want to face the truth. It's the things that we run from that will not let you escape from it, because it's something that it's a lesson in life that you need. The things in life that you believe that you can escape from, that the things in life that you find yourself repeating or the same situations you wind up being in, there's something in that, there's a lesson in that that is supposed to be developed in you and through you. It's something that you're supposed to carry out, or it's something in that family dynamics that you are the one that can make a difference, or you can change that. You can change some of those family dynamics. I was reading because insecure people are the most fearful people, and the majority of the time they don't realize how insecure they are. When we're talking about relationships, a lot of relationships, I notice in a lot of relationships, the relationship is reactive and it's not proactive. We had a show really truly expressing the differences in reactive relationships or reactive people versus proactive people. And people who are extremely reactive, they feel a need to defend their territory or uphold their position, or they just feel a need to stand strong on some of the things that they believe in. But it's all derived from the wrong areas of truth. If you don't start with the right or proper understanding of what truth is, or if you don't start with the basic foundations of what truth is, you walk through untruth. You walk through confusion, or you walk through your perception of what the truth is. And perception is not fact. Perception is just that. It's something that you've created over time, or happenstance has changed around, or people have added different scripts to your perception and you've added that and it's become your truth. So you have what people are saying, how people are reacting to you, how people are rejecting you, or how people are receiving you, and you take all of that together and you mesh it all into your perception, your paradigm, and it forms the greatest form of insecurity. I was also reading, and we had another show where I stressed the scripture of it was Proverbs 25 and 28 that tells us a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. And so, you know, we're not talking about just a man, but a woman, but mankind. But a person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. So in everything, if there is a lack of discipline, if there is a lack of self-control, there will be a warped sense of truth, even in what Tammy was talking about in the relationships and how you see the positive and how you see the negative. Wherever your truth lies, whatever your foundation of truth is, that's where you branch off. That's how you branch off and begin to live your life. And I found something about insecure people that was disturbing to me, but it was so true that most of us don't know. A lot of times in relationships, most people don't step outside of themselves and put themselves in the other person's shoes to see, how can I see this from her perspective or from his perspective? How can I understand to make this a greater good for the both of us? Most people stand on what they stand on. This is what they want. This is what they believe. And they want you to see it their way, or they want to change you in order so you can understand it their way. When you try to get someone to understand what it is you're trying to explain, two understandings are okay, and that just simply means that no two people are alike anyway, so two understandings are okay. But it's when another person tries to force their way of thinking or their way of understanding, or they make things difficult for you. I found in a book I'm reading, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and I thought of insecurities when Tammy was talking about the dynamics of the positive and negative relationships. It was about insecure people, and I wanted to stress that because if a relationship is unhealthy or negative in any form or fashion, there's a ton of insecurity there. A ton of insecurity is the driving force. The foundation is built on insecurity. And wherever there's insecurity, there's a lack of trust. Wherever there's a lack of trust, the person's truth, their foundational truth, is null and void, meaning there is none. I found that it states in the book that I was reading, because he talks about working with one another. When you work with another person or another group or another entity, another corporation, no matter what you want to be connected to, you want to know the other person's side, you want to understand the other dynamics coming into your dynamics, that's the only way that any form of harmony can come out of that union, that relationship, that joint venture that you're trying to do. I've also found that it's our innate desire to put on the outside of us what lies on the inside of us. So that's why I was saying the things that we try to run from, whatever you try to run from or not deal with, you cannot run from it because it will come after you because you have to deal with it. You have to face it. You have to face the music. You have to deal with it. You have to work out those things that are in your family or the things that are in you or the things that you may say, well, I'm ashamed of or I'm guilty of or I don't like this about me. There's something that needs to be worked out in you. What I found that was it's disturbing and it's intriguing at the same time. It was about insecure people. It says insecure people think that all reality should be amenable to their paradigms. They have the high need to clone others or to mold others into their own way of thinking, meaning that they manipulate in order to get you to see things in the way that they see things. They don't realize that the very strength of the relationship is having another point of view. It stresses that sameness is not oneness. Uniformity is not unity. No matter what, two people are not going to see eye to eye, but two great minds can come together to create a greater dynamic proportion. Two minds can come together and create a better business, create a better family unit. Two minds coming together with the creativity and the love and the energy of the two different upbringings, two different cultures. It can be so much greater, but in that we take the two and we come together, and it's like two bulls fighting for territory. I want my way, then the other person wants their way. And no matter what, I'm going to get my way, whether I have to manipulate it out of you, whether I have to charm my way to get it, I'm going to get my way, but I'm going to get it based on a lie. I'm going to get it based on areas of untruth. I'm going to get it based on words that I'm going to use that, you know, it's going to weaken your walls, whatever walls you have up or whatever defense mechanism you're trying to put up. My words, because like we said earlier, words have power. My words will penetrate through those walls, knock down your walls, pull you down, stretch you out, weaken you so I can get my way. So the only way to have unity, the one person has to allow the other person's baby, desire, dream, they have to allow it to live. You want yours to live and you want theirs to live. And there's not in any way, shape, or form that both people can sit together and say, well, if my dream lives, yours can't. Or if yours lives, mine can't. Both can come together. Both can manifest. But those words will determine if you climb or if you fall. A house divided cannot stand. So you will rise or fall based on your words, based on your mindsets, based on your actions. It all begins with a thought. Then it turns into words. And then the actions always follow.
Okay. Thank you, Tika. I think we have a caller. Caller, Greenman and the area code 816 and last 43056. You're on the air with us.
Hi. I wanted to say that that was very powerful what she just said, and I agreed with her. I just wanted to make a comment based on the fact that you said, why do people be untruthful in relationships? And I wanted to say that I think a lot of people are just sensitive, you know, like sensitive to confrontation. They don't want to be confronted once they tell the truth, you know. They don't know how to defend themselves, so they choose to live behind a lie. And also, I wanted to just comment about words and the power of words. I've always thought of that a little differently because, yeah, words, I don't think that words are power. I think that words demonstrate the will of the heart, meaning that it's not because of the words that, you know, people are hurt, but it shows, you know, the attitude of one's heart. And, I mean, just like if you say, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow and set a goal to go to the grocery store, it's not the words that you're speaking. It's basically you training your mind and to do what it is that you said that you're going to do. So I really, this is just me personally, I don't think that words have the power. I think that it is the person's attitude and the will of that person that has the power. I mean, because we all know that if God wanted to, like when he said, let there be light, he didn't necessarily have to speak it with his tongue for it to happen. It was his will. He could have willed it or whatever, and it could have been so. So it's not really the words that have the power. I just wanted to say that it's basically the will of the person, and it just says what a person is feeling inside of their hearts, and that's kind of what I just wanted to say about that.
Okay, thank you. And I can understand. This is Tammy, and I can understand that perception of it. But I also, and I understand that, yeah, when you look at it as a broad word, a word is just a word. It's the power that we give that word. But if I tell someone,
right,
okay, go, I mean, it's up to them what power they give to that word. Somebody may go. They might go, you know, ready, set, go. We used to run off of the word go, where somebody may choose not to. So it's about the power that one allows into their life. And, of course, I mean, you really do have to renew your mind and change the thought process or change the definition,
right,
that suits you for that word, whatever power you're giving,
mm-hmm,
it, particularly if it's generating negative power in your life, you know, then you need to change that power there. So I think we're saying,
right,
the same thing. I think we're just perceiving it differently.
Right, right. It's and that's we are saying the same thing. I just wanted to, you know, like, just say that if we tell somebody something, it's not really the word that's doing the harm. You know, basically what you just said is the fact that it's coming from a person that we, you know, we would hope that they would love us or whatever, and they would say something out of anger, you know. It's not really the word that hurts the person. It's the fact that you would say that to them, you know, a person that's supposed to love you. They tell you they hate you or something like that, you know. It's not that you said you hate me. It's more like, wow, I can't believe that you feel that way. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, you're right, you know, we do hang on words, and sometimes that's bad, you know, that we hang on them, onto them. But, you know, we just need to all know that it's not magic. Words are not magical. They can't make anything happen. But you're right, it's your thought process. It's how you think. And so, yeah, I guess we are saying the same thing. I just wanted to say it another way.
Right, because say for instance, if,
mm-hmm,
I maybe can say something to someone, speak the same word to someone, and that person may take it, may be okay with it, is not offended by it, but that same,
mm-hmm,
word brings some different, may bring a different response or reaction to someone else because of maybe I've offended them before, and they are operating in that quote. A lie is done in through words that are spoken and unspoken. So maybe I said something before that we didn't resolve, and so now that I say something again, it could be the simplest thing, the same word that I may say to you, I say to them, and they're offended by it. So, you know, it depends. But, yeah, again, I think we're saying the same thing, but it does generate it. And to bring, to say, you know, about God and the light, certainly I can't even compare to just being in that place because he's almighty. So I think we're saying the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You
initially, okay. Well, yeah, I do. Initially, we are saying the same thing. When you said it's the will,
mm-hmm,
it was God's will to let there be light, but his will and,
right,
his word, the will gave the words power. The words, no, words alone don't have power. You write something on paper, but words do have power because if you put your mouth together to form something, it's coming from the will of the soul. It's coming from your heart. What comes through a person's mouth is what lies in their heart. So if malice and deceit and corruption lies in your heart, that's what you will spew through your mouth. But if love, tenderness, and kindness lies in your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth in the form of words. People cannot express what's in them outside of what we do. We do express in our actions, of course. We express in our actions. Body language, your body movement, it does have language as well. But the strongest form or a connected form, it comes through words. And so whatever is in our heart, that our heart and our will, the power that comes from the words is because it comes from our spirit. It comes from the soul in us. And if we put it in a form of words, that's the power that gives it life.
Right. And I totally agree with that. I know when a friend of mine was telling her son that, you know, when Jesus spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth, it wasn't the word. It was Jesus himself that had the power that made him get up. So if one of us was to say, you know, okay, let it rain, us saying it with words is not going to make it happen. We can believe it, and we still can't make it happen if it's not the will. But as far as saying the power, it is in the perception. You know, nobody can actually say a word or command, use a command to make anything happen. It's us that is doing it. So I guess we're saying the same thing, but I have had children say that, you know, words are power, like, well, I'm this or I'm that or abracadabra. You know, there's no power in the word abracadabra, but it is the power in the person that can make something happen. So in that way, words themselves, that's just how I view it. You know, words themselves, they just don't possess power. It's just it's the will and how people take what people say. So that's what I mean. Words themselves literally don't have power. How we use them, you know, it's our hearts. It's just speaking what's on our heart. But the words themselves don't have power, is what I was saying. Like, we can't say abracadabra and make something happen. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, we can't
you
know, just like say
right
something with,
no.
and use a right and use a word
right.
and say,
no,
you know, right.
But words
right.
come
but
to
we,
life based on a belief in the word.
Mm-hmm.
If a person says, like you said, we can't just say, okay, it's going to rain, and it's we can't just walk out and say, okay, I'm going to speak rain and it's going to rain. No
right.
matter what, words are tied to a belief. Even though a person said, well, I said I wanted it to rain, but even though a person
mm-hmm.
can say something, we don't know
mm-hmm.
what they believe on the inside. Only they know what they believe, and God knows what
right.
they believe. But another person cannot recognize, feel, or know another person's belief. If I say
mm-hmm.
to this mountain, God says we can say to any mountain, move, and it will be moved. But we have to believe that it can move, meaning we move in that mountain of circumstances. But we
right.
can say, move,
mm-hmm.
mountain, move, mountain, move, mountain. Of course, the words alone won't do it. It's the power that what we believe within us. When Jesus told Lazarus to come out, to wake up, when Jesus told
mm-hmm.
Peter to step out on the water, he initiated him with a hand movement. But it was what was in his heart, and it was the belief, and it was the word
right.
tied to all of that. They are connected
right.
together. God created. We're the
mm-hmm.
only mammal that's gifted with the power of speech, the power of
mm-hmm.
communication through words. We're the only ones. And so our words have life in a sense. If they don't, we can't use them frivolously by saying abracadabra. We can't use them frivolously by walking outside and saying, okay, well, I want to see light or I want to see rain, because there's no power behind that, because there's no belief behind it. That words have power because of the belief that comes with the words, that's associated
mm-hmm.
with the words, that's combined with the words. The power is
mm-hmm.
in the words because of the belief that's associated with it. Just a word alone, I could write down the word go and just throw it up in the air. It has no meaning. It has meaning when I bring life through my body, through my spirit, to speak into it. The life comes because it came from a life gear. It came from a life source. I'm a life source. So the words that I speak, that's the life that God means when he says words have power, words have life, words have depth. If I tell you constantly what you can't do, what you won't be able to do, even though you may say, well, one person, that won't matter, after you hear tons of people say that, even when you try to reject that, that'll be tons of seeds of negativity, tons of seeds of rejection, or tons of seeds of condemnation planted on you. And even when you try to fight it without the Spirit of God, you cannot fight all those words of condemnation on your own, because you will begin to believe those lies, because they had power because of the people that it came from. It came from life sources, and they spoke life into it. Even if it's negative, they spoke life into the negativity, and that's how the words got to have life. Words on a page, no, they have no life. Words in a book, no, they have no life. But when a person speaks it from the power within them, that's what brings it to life. So that's what I mean when I'm trying to explain the difference of words having life. Not, I don't just mean just, yes, abracadabra. No, I cannot go say abracadabra. But if I have a ton of wickedness in me, and I believe that my wickedness can go out and create or cause destruction on somebody, I will go out and I will speak destruction into that person's life. Because God says our tongue, either we speak blessings or we speak curses upon one another. Whenever we're condemning someone, we're cursing them. We're cursing. We're wishing and we're desiring and we're wanting the worst for them. When we speak blessing, we want, we hope, and we desire the best for a person. So there's power, there's life-giving power in our tongues, in our words. That's why he says in our tongue, because from our tongue is where the words come from our tongue. Mm-hmm. So I don't just mean the frivolous words, but if I want condemnation on someone and that's what I speak constantly, I bring that to life. If I want something great for someone and I speak it constantly, I speak that blessing constantly, it will come to life. It will come to life because God's word said that it would. And it will come to life because he says you are created in my image. And if you're created in my image, you're able to co-create as I am. He has the master plan because he's the Alpha and the Omega. But he tells us, oh, you're my child. So if you're my child, you're able to speak to that mountain, you're able to tell that mountain to move. You're able to tell that adversity to get behind you. You're able to tell Satan, you can't touch me today. I'm not looking for that. I'm not going for that. I'm not believing that lie. We have to speak when Jesus himself was tempted with Satan, it was words that he spoke. He spoke God's words, and he spoke it in words. But it was his power and his belief that gave it life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that power comes from us because we are life-giving entities. We are life-giving people. And from us, a word that comes from us has life because we are life. So that's my meaning and my interpretation of it.
Okay. Well, I agree.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you. I think we had a... another caller, but I think we lost them, and they have submitted some information to us by way of chat. And basically, and the lines are open, so if maybe I'll give it a minute, and caller, if you want to call back in, the lines are open now. But I'll go ahead and read what was sent in. And basically it says, the lie consumes you and you believe that it has happened or that it happened. Let's see. Basically, from the quote that a lie is also done in silence, that when we choose not to speak those words in truth, that sometimes we do this. For instance, if someone asks a question, then we may not say anything. So if somebody asks a question, we don't comment, and this is allowing them to assume they are right by not answering. It is because you don't or we don't want to say yes or no. We leave them to make an assumption. So this is more so talking about, you know, how we, when we don't speak words, if we know something, and we do that a lot. Society is just so, oh, my gosh, that is just on TV and in the workplace and in the home. You know, we just sometimes, I'm really bad about that. That's kind of like, I think, one time on the show where we talked about someone says, are you okay? And you say, I'm fine. Or they say, how are you? And I'm fine. But inward, you are dying. You should say, no, I'm hurt, I'm this, I'm that. So, you know, a lot can be said and done and perceived through words. So I guess, you know, that's kind of what, that's the direction we are going here because, you know, no, the actual word may not have that power, but we give it so much power. I mean, we give words power in our life. We produce those things based on how we feel internally. We internalize all our circumstances. If someone tells you, have told you you're ugly, you're not pretty all your life, that becomes your power. You are powered by that for forever. You think that you really are. So there's so many things that goes behind that. We are, the lines are open, and I almost want to just make you guys stay on, or we almost want to just make you stay on, because I've not, I know you probably thought I've gotten to my little weird analogy, but I have not, and I don't really want to start it, but we have about 43 minutes to go into the show. So if you all, if anybody has any questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you now. I think, Tigger, are you okay with moving forward, staying on? And for those of you who have to get off, let's just I feel the need to let's just go with this tonight. I don't think we intended to keep you on this long, but so many of us are operating in untruth. I mean, we're walking around with all this baggage and lying to ourselves. Internalizing things, but projecting, trying to project to others a totally different thing. So we're living in bondage. And the biggest lies and the most damaging words we say and put out are basically inwardly. We do it to ourselves. So the biggest lies that we tell and the most negative things are typically generated or are generalized internally. So let's move forward. And again, for those of you who will stay, I'll just take it that this is for you, and we're just going to learn and continue to grow together. Keep in mind the words that we've talked about so far, as far as the defining ingredients. Didn't define that, but we wanted you to think about what your ingredients are. We defined reality, power, truth, words, free, and unrestricted, restricted, and I may have missed some, but just keep in mind where we are going with this. Here's kind of my weird analogy. Picture, and I'm going to use me, for instance. Picture, and you do this thinking about you. So I'm going, and I'm going in the store, and I want chocolate cake. And, you know, if some of us, we still use the box cakes. So we're just going to go in and buy my favorite, Duncan Hines Devil Food chocolate cake. And as you know, there's always pictures on the box and to tell you this is what you're getting. So you, if this, in this case, we'll see a picture of a chocolate cake, devil food chocolate cake. We don't always check the ingredients, which in this case is going to be those words. Remember the negative words. Remember the positive words. And remember we said the negative is typically what just seemingly we do to ourselves. We internalize those things. So think of that, this box with this chocolate cake on it. Some people may read the ingredients. Some people would not. I wouldn't. I'd just buy it based on the picture. So you take it home. You think you know what you have based on the picture. And I want you to visualize the picture as being what you project and what you want others to see. The completed version, the version that I want to be, the version that I'm projecting outwardly. The ingredients would be what's really inside. So you get this, you take it home, you are going to cook it, you pour it out, and it just doesn't look right. The mix doesn't look right. But you say, no, it's me, I'm going to keep going. You know, chocolate, it was a chocolate cake on the front, it's got to be a chocolate cake, it's me, you know, I'm tripping. So you move forward, you cook it, you bake it. It still doesn't quite, now you notice it doesn't smell right. But you say again, it's just me. I must be really tripping today. You go forward and you cook your cake. Now it's time to put the frosting on it. You still notice that it just doesn't, it didn't look right when I poured it. It didn't smell right. Now it just doesn't look like my chocolate cake. But you ice it anyway. You go ahead and you put it on. And keep your mind on relationships as well, because I want you to see what the words that we bring, that brings power in our lives, however it does. Again, think about you internalizing the things but projecting another, because we keep those things, our circumstances, we keep the things that we've been told we are or that we've gone through that we think is our makeup. For the most part, we keep those in, especially when we are meeting someone or going into a relationship. And remember, we asked the question in the beginning, what if we went into that openly? What if we expressed those words that were the cause of how we were feeling inside? So getting back onto this chocolate cake, now you're at the point where you're ready to eat it, and you cut into this cake after all of the signs that you've seen or acknowledged. It didn't pour right, it didn't look right, it didn't smell right, but you moved forward. Now, in relationship standpoint, you're there. You're getting ready to eat the cake, and you realize this is not a chocolate cake. This is not the cake. This is not what's on the box. This is not the picture. This is not what was portrayed to me. So you realize that it's the wrong cake. It's the wrong thing. You've not really gotten what portrayed to you, so to speak. And this is what we do. We internalize those words, perceive ourselves in a negative manner, and we internalize that, but we project another thing. I'm getting a feedback, you all. Are you all hearing that as well? Tika?
Uh-uh. I don't hear it.
Okay. Well, it just must be on my part. I wanted to stop if we were. Okay, I'm sorry. I just got a text. Yeah, some people are. It is really staticky. Now I don't hear it, so I'm not sure what went on there. But now it's gone, so maybe we're okay here. But that's what we do, and sometimes we give that. We allow those words to because of how we want people to perceive us. And what we want them to think of us, we put out something else. And then we expect people to respond in a different way. We expect them to respond with what we need. We expect them to know that we might need a little bit more nurturing, although we didn't portray that. We portrayed ourselves as this whole, complete person. But internally, we need something totally different from that person. We need them to speak more subtle to us. We need them to be more attentive to us. So it is so important to know who you are. It is so important to internalize those positive things, those positive words that give life, that give the correct power to your life. And, I mean, I hope you got that. The picture did not match what the person thought he was going to get or she was going to get at home. And we're doing that to society. We're doing that, which goes back to what Erica's question was, you know, who are you? Are you this collection of people? You know, are you a cohesive whole or a collection of compartments? Who are you at church? Who are you at work? Who are you at home? Who are you when you're with your children? Who are you with when you're with your best friends? Who are you? And then in the midst of all that, who are you inside? We're usually a totally different person inside, even though we're all those other things outwardly to other people. So we're allowing people to generate the power in our lives based on what we want them to perceive of us through those positive words that we wish we were. The things that we wish we could manifest, the things that we wish we could produce and project. It goes back to as well. Remember, I'm sure all of us have people in our families that, you know, just always just keep up stuff. Something's always going on. And how many times have you heard, well, you just know that's just how they are. Just leave it alone. So we, kind of like what our listener said earlier, we just don't say anything. And that is not helping anyone. When we do that, we're kind of complimenting someone's superiority. We're helping them acknowledge false reality. So we got to speak up with our words. We got to monitor our words and know what to say and when to say it and how to say it, of course. But words do have the power, regardless if how you internalize that power. But words do have power. And I think Tika did a very good job explaining that whole concept of that word with our last caller, because they do have power. Now, how and what kind of power really does depend on what you give it and how much you give it. As I mentioned, we did have a question, and I don't think I got through this earlier, but I had a question from one of our listeners. Why is it when you tell people the truth about what you want, they run, but when you tell them a lie, they stay? And I think that's because people are so used to being lied to. They're so used to operating and living off of a lie. And if they know, if you've gone to them in truth, then they know, I got to operate in truth now. I got to operate in truth, because this person has been forefront and in what they want, what they need, what their fears are. They've expressed through those words that generate power, whether you're going to stay or go, and if you stay or go, how you are going to act if you stay. Because if a person has come to you and said, this is who I am, this is what I want, if you're choosing to stay, then that person's going to have expectations of you, because they've expressed those words, which has generated power. It's going to tell you, yes, I want these same things, and I'm going to stay. So now you have some type of mutual agreement of what to expect from one another. But if we both walk into this, you know, I'm leading you to believe that you have a chocolate cake, but really on the inside, you know, I'm just a bowl of Fruit Loops. I mean, really, because I'm so broken, but I've led you to think that I'm all this, so you think I'm okay, and you don't have to really nurture me because you think I'm okay. I know exactly what I have here. And by the time you don't, you know, we have, in most cases, by the time someone realizes who they really have, they're on their way down the aisle, if not married. And now we got divorced sky high. So I know that went off, but if you think about the concept of it, of what you are internalizing, just work to be the same person every day and in every situation. That goes with renewing the mind, keeping yourself rooted in God's word, because as Tika said earlier, you know, just as we look for things and the power in our worldly world, you know, God's word brings so much power. The power to heal, the power, you know, when we're lonely, there's something for everything. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he was tempted. Satan even tempted him with the word, but he said, it is also written. So it is something written for every situation you have, for every negative ingredient that you have internalized that has given power, that is keeping you in bondage. There is a solution. There is an ingredient, a positive ingredient. There is a fulfilling ingredient in God's word. And if Jesus had to use it when he was being tempted, if he had to say, you know, it is written, and then when Satan comes back with tempting him with the word but using it out of context, he goes on, it is also written. So he's saying, without a doubt, I know who I am. I know what I'm grounded in. I know who I'm grounded in. And that's what we need to start doing. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your childhood. We've all had some things happen that could keep us from moving forward, that could make us internalize those negative ingredients in our lives. We all have. But thank God that there's something better, that we can renew our minds. We don't have to stay there. We can deal with them and move forward and then reach back and help somebody else out of their negative ingredients, their negative words that have possessed power, so that when we're meeting people, and again, you can relate this to almost every aspect of relationship in your life, on the workplace, you know, in your home life. with your friends. I know I probably lost a lot of friends because of the things that I did not say. You let things build up. I'm sure of that. And then by the time it's just the one last thing, and that was enough. And it's really unfair because if you speak up, if you express those words, so, you know, now that I say that, words have a lot of power because those words that I chose not to speak ended, I allowed to end a relationship. When if I address things back when they happen, how many times do we do that? I know I'm walking around right now with some things I should have said to some people long ago. I've not expressed. So I'm lying to myself and I'm lying to them as well. So check the lines here. They are open. The lines are open in closing because we've kept you all quite a bit here. But, again, we're going to just keep going until we have no more. So if you stay, we're going to stay. I want to just say, you know, it takes a lot. You know, this show is really about renewing your mind. And remember the quotes that we said here. Don't internalize the wrong ingredients. And if you are doing that and you've did it so long till you maybe feel like this is it, but it's never too late to start over, never too late. Before we go, I do want to share some of these. I told you guys that that I did ask some people some questions, and I want to share what some of the people shared about me, and it was very, very helpful. So we challenge you guys to do that. You know, get with someone and ask, what are my positive ingredients and what are my negative ingredients? And then one of our callers provided theirs, and won't say who they are, but I'll go over what theirs were, and then we'll allow you all to talk and ask questions, and if you don't have any, we'll just move forward with ending tonight's show. But here's a list, and I'm going to start with the positive. Early in the show, we started with negatives, but because hopefully things have changed, and we're going to start focusing on those positive things in our lives, and we're going to start internalizing the positive ingredients. So we're going to start there. But here are some of the things, and again, I asked three people, knowledgeable, smart, go-getter, selfless, equitable, nurturing, positive, caring, honest, and intelligent, okay? And some of those were a repeat, but again, I asked three people. And the negative does not know how or when to let go, sometimes allows your emotions to get the best of you, holds on too tight sometimes, sometimes allows the weight of your past to outweigh your future, but the person wanted to explain this one, and they said, but I see some change here. I see some significant change in this area. And then another negative was spiteful, sarcastic, and nonchalant. So those were some negatives, and I really, really had to think about some of those things, and I had to say, you know, was this part of my makeup ever on some of those things? And if I was honest with myself, which I was, there was a time, and there are some people in my life that I have been very spiteful with, and I've been very conditional with. It was all conditional based on how I was feeling, and a lot of it had to do with the things that I was internalizing, the words that I was allowing to power me, to motivate me to move. So that's why it's so important to know your ingredients. That's what I feel is so important, to know your ingredients and what you think makes you you. What is generating your power? What is giving you power? Or what is keeping you from having that power? And so start thinking about the words that you're speaking over your life. As Tika said, I just can't say enough. There is power in words. You can speak life over you, or you can speak death over you through your words and what you internalize and what you believe. I listed some personal things that I thought that I need to change on, and I expect too much from people. Again, I have allowed some past experience to create bondage in my life, which I am working towards that. But again, I had to realize and acknowledge those things. So don't remain in bondage. Particularly don't allow what the false perceptions to keep you in bondage. Okay? Real quickly, and I'm going to turn it over. The lines are open, and I'm going to check the chat line real quick here. Nothing there. This is one that we asked one of our listeners, and they provided intelligent, witty, and all of these are going to be kind of mixed in, intelligent, witty, standoffish at times, sensitive, love the Lord, boastful, family-oriented, great personality, and so forth. And what else? What I did differently for this caller is I asked, what would you have said, or what would have been your ingredients 2 years ago? Would this have been different 2 or 3 years ago? And the person would have had a different list, and I'm going to go back to there. A different list, or the different ingredients 2 years ago, would have been disappointment, bitter, anger, rejection, and basically they said mad as hell. And so notice how they've changed, because the person has acknowledged what's going on internally, what words had empowered them, or they were allowing to empower them or keep them in bondage, and they made a choice to say, I'm moving forward. I will not be this person. So like Tika said, instead of saying about the vacation, they basically said, I'm going on vacation. Not doubting or thinking, how am I going to do it? They said, I'm changing. I don't like who I am. I don't like how I feel. I don't like how I run people off. You have to pay attention to these things and start being honest with people. Start living and speaking in truth. It is so ironic that this is the topic this week, because it has been so challenging. I've had to face people with the truth that I've been holding on to stuff for so long, and I'm not done. But this has helped me to see, and it doesn't mean that I'm right in the situations, in every situation. It just means that I need to get this off my chest. And getting it off has made the world of difference. You feel like a weight has just been lifted off of you. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this was the topic for this week. I really don't know how we ended up even with this topic. But as Tika and I have said, I can't even remember how we did, but as Tika and I have said, don't think for once that we're sitting here, our lives are just smooth as glass, because we have our challenges. And we talk each other through them with words sometimes. There's times Tika has to say, okay, Tammy, she has to give me a word. And I have to do that for her as well. So don't think that we're smooth sailing. It's just that we have to change our mind. We have to change the way we think about ourselves. We have to change the way we think about our situations, our past. And we have to create some new ingredients, some new words that match the picture on the cake box. If I'm presenting myself as a chocolate cake, I want to be that chocolate cake, because I want someone who likes chocolate cake. And I don't want that person to be disappointed or confused when he realized, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I thought you were, because I've portrayed something else, because I've internalized those negative ingredients in my life. So hope this has helped someone. If not, Tika and I have really been helped. So just want you guys to know that, again, we continue to be blessed in our lives through doing these shows, and we thank you all, because if you didn't come and stay on here almost 2 hours now, unbelievable that you're still listening. So don't listen in vain. Really take these things to heart, as we do, because they are really changing our lives, really changing our lives. And I wasn't in plan on saying this, but to see Tika is just, I see so much strength. It's like I'm looking at this new person. Like, I see her just walking in faith and walking through circumstances. And I know that this has a lot to do with what we're doing. So
absolutely.
Just want to say that. I'm going to shut my mouth because I've went on and on and on. Tika, we have 20 minutes and we still have people listening, so go for it.
Well, you know, I said this a little earlier, and I want to reiterate on it again. I wanted to, it's when I said that our innate desire is to put on the outside of us what lies within us.
meaning that whatever's on the inside of you, you have a desire for it to come to life. Innate meaning originated in or derived from the mind or the constitution of the intellect rather from experience. You want to make come to life not something that you've experienced, but something that's in your mind, something that's in your soul, something that's alive in you. You want to bring, it's alive on the inside, you want to bring it to life on the outside. I also mentioned that when you try to bury it, when you try to deny it, when you try to erase it, when you try to kill it, when you try to tell it that it doesn't exist, you can't. It will not allow you to. It won't let you. It will not let you live at ease because you were designed with a purpose. God designed you with a purpose. Every last one of us were designed with a purpose. However, life kicked you, life spit on you, life violated you, life left you for dead. And through all of that, you grew to believe that you were doomed. You grew to believe that, who am I now? I'm unworthy of anything now. I'm unworthy of whatever it was that I wanted. I can't have it. You have grew to believe lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. Through all of that, you wind up losing your focus. You wind up forgetting who you are. You wind up forgetting whose you are. You forgot that you didn't create you. You thought that all you did was create all this mess, but you didn't stop to remember that you didn't create you. And if you would stop for a moment, pull yourself together, remember, you didn't create you. So if you didn't create you, someone else created you, and you were designed with a purpose. You got off track, you got sideswiped, you took some wrong roads. True, I believe that almost every last one of us have, but it doesn't negate the fact that you were designed with a purpose. There was already a path created for you. It was already designed for you when you laid in your mother's womb. There was already a path designed for you. You aren't completely aware of the path designed for you, but you've also forgotten who you are, and you've also forgotten whose you are. Once you come back to remembering, because it's there, you just forgot. When you come back to remembering who you belong to, who created you, you'll begin to realize, yeah, I had some ideas on what I wanted to do, but I never really checked with the master's plan. I never really stopped to see, was my plan aligned with his, or did I just want to go out and reach out and kind of just take what I felt or what I thought I wanted? You just simply forgot. You forgot who you are. You forgot whose you are. And you began to believe the lies of the enemy. Every last one of us have. I don't believe that there's a person on this earth that hasn't believed the lies of the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we've said that scripture over and over again because that's a strong one, just as strong as do not be conformed, you know, to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. John 10:10 says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know who this enemy is. He made his attempt to destroy you. And if you throw in the towel, he will succeed. He has succeeded if you've already thrown the towel in. But what you have to remember is that he was the fallen angel. He was cast out because of his vain desire to be God's equal. But he didn't leave without stressing and expressing to God that I will influence. I will discourage, I will manipulate, I will deceive all of the weak ones until I have a larger following than you, God. That's what he declared before he left. They'll worship me by believing my lies in the mind. His goal was to be worshipped. And so many of us have no idea that, and this sounds simple, but I know you're going to say, that's not true. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. God designed us to worship. And you may believe, that doesn't sound right. Even if it doesn't sound right, God designed us to worship. So you're worshiping God or you're worshiping something else. You could be worshiping your job. You could be worshiping your education. You could be worshiping your house. You could be worshiping the material things in your house. You could be worshiping your car, the car you drive. You could be worshiping your bank account. But we are designed to worship. He designed us to worship. The true design was to worship him. But when we run from worshiping him, we have no idea how much we stumble across worshiping other things. When we say idol, we worship idols, you're not sitting with this totem pole in front of your house or something that you've carved out, that you put up on your mantle piece and you bow to. And not a lot of us will do that, so when we see or think of an idol, we think of something that's been carved or something that I bought and I put on a shelf and I glorify. No, we don't mean that. We mean things like a car, a job, an education, or a spouse. You're not even supposed to worship another person. But in believing all of these lies, the greatest thing I would like for our listeners to remember is that the words that really matter are your own words, the words that are in your mind and come out of your mouth. The words I want you to truly realize that matter the most are your own words. Because if a teacher or your mother or your father or your boss or your peers or your family, if they tell you that you can, but you believe that you can't, you can't. In turn, if your teacher, if your mother, if your father, if your boss, if your spouse, if your friends, if your family, if they tell you that you can't succeed, but you tell yourself that you can, your words matter the most. Your words have the greatest power. If you tell yourself that you can, against all odds, against all words that spoke condemnation over you. The sky is the limit. So millions of us have heard this, that the sky is the limit. There is no limit. You can earn a degree. You can do whatever it is you want to do. We've all heard that the sky is the limit. I got a little sideswiped, you all. I got notes on two separate areas, but I want to ask a couple of questions. We still got a little bit of time, but I want to ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to turn it back over to Tammy. But I want to ask, if what you're asking God for in the form of words, what if God gave you a glimpse and showed you that it'll manifest? What if he showed you that it's going to happen? What if he showed you that the prayers that you've been praying, he has already said yes? If you saw this prayer and you were already shown the answer, you were already shown that he has already given it to you and he's going to, would you worry about it? With your words, wouldn't your words be more positive? Wouldn't your words be more powerful and filled with joy? Wouldn't your words be possessed with encouragement, laughter, and other forms of happiness if God showed you a glimpse of what your words asked for? What if God wanted us to start with the end in mind? What if God wanted us to know without doubt and believe with faith, speaking the words, the fruit of what he's already promised us? When you pray, those are words. Those are words that you put in a form of a petition to God. You're asking. You're making a request. You're asking. Those are words. You connect those words with his scripture, and in turn, you receive his promises. After asking God with those words, you have a spirit, but after doing all of that, though, that turns out really great. But what if after asking God with your words, you have a spirit of doubt? It winds up being a cloud over your head. Your words confirm. Your words reaffirm. They bring your doubt to life. You pray and you ask God for something. You prayed it with words, but your faith is more powerful than your words because your faith in what you ask for is filled with doubt. You spoke death in the form of words because even though you prayed to God for something, you spoke to other people and you said you couldn't do it. You spoke to yourself and you said you couldn't do it. You told your kids what you couldn't do. You told your coworkers what you couldn't do, but you prayed to God for it. But your thoughts and your beliefs doubted it. You spoke in words what you couldn't have. Then when you realized that that prayer didn't come to pass, that that prayer didn't manifest, you began to speak even more death, saying, I knew it wasn't going to happen anyway. I knew God wasn't going to give me that. I knew God was going to reject me. I knew God was going to reject my request, not even realizing that it was your doubt that kept that desire from coming to life. It was your doubt that made it dead before it could even come to life. Your faith, your lack of faith in it confirmed it. There was a lack of faith that you had. When that happens, how do you expect, or how can you expect God to do what your words already said that he couldn't do? Your faith gave you the exact results you believed in. Your faith believed that you couldn't have it. Your faith believed that you didn't deserve it. Your faith believed that you weren't worthy of it. However you ask God for it, with it being backed by everything opposite of his word, how can he give you anything when your faith tells him that he can't? God will only do in proportion to what your faith believes he can do. If you ask for something but your faith believes that he can't do it, it's not that he can't, because he can. But your faith says that he can't. Your faith has already believed that he can't. So how can he? Your words gave life to the exact outcome that you said with words that it would. Your words are the master of your future. They're one with your beliefs and your actions. They conform to what you believe. They conform to what you say. I want to leave you with just saying to be still. I'm going to turn it back over to Tammy, but I want you to be still. And remember that if God is saying that I brought you this far, if God is saying that I haven't left you yet, if God is saying I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, if God is saying that I love you and I will give you what's best for you, through the fire that you initiated, I will still open doors. But when you refuse to walk through them, what more do you expect him to do? The actions of your disobedience, you do not believe him. The actions of your disobedience, you do not believe in yourself. That's not what he wants for you. Stop believing the lie. God doesn't lie. He's not a man that he will lie. People lie. They lie all the time. You're used to empty promises. This is what so many of us are used to. We used to people lying to us. My daddy didn't deliver. My mama didn't deliver. My spouse didn't deliver. My boss didn't deliver. My family didn't deliver. My children didn't deliver. My friends didn't deliver. Every person you've ever come to know has let you down. They've disappointed you, hurt you, lied to you, deceived you, manipulated you, charmed you, and used you. So that pattern has in turn set up in your mind to say that God is just going to do the same thing. But you have to remember that he is not a man that he should lie. And we cannot put him into the box as if he's a person. He created everything. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's infinite. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of the universe. He created the sun. He created the moon. He told the sun when to set. He told the moon when to rise. He told the ocean where to stop. He told the sand where to begin. He put the ebb and flow into this world. He tells the seasons when to change. He tells the sky when to rain. He tells the flowers when to bloom. He creates the light from the moon. Your daddy didn't do that. Your mother didn't do that. Your sister didn't. Your brother didn't. Your spouse didn't. Your teacher didn't. Your boss didn't. Your family didn't. Your friends didn't. These people in your life didn't create the rhythms of life. God did. God did. Remember, if you don't remember nothing else in this show, remember, God did. And whatever it is that he said he will do, he will do. Turn it over to you, Tammy.
Thank you. I almost just don't want to even say this because Tika's just hit it on the nail. I do want to say a couple of things just before going in and closing. That was so powerful. And remember, you guys, think about that, especially the last part about what God can do. you know, if you think of, there's a song that Tika and I both love. It's called My Redeemer Lives, and it talks about who tells the sun where to hide until the morning. You know, and so a lot of us think that we're just not worthy of those promises that God speaks of through his word. We're so used to the lies, so used to the unfulfilled hopes and dreams and people that we think this is just life, and this is what I'm going to get from God as well. This is how I'm perceived, and we feel so unworthy. But if he can tell the moon where the sun where to hide until morning, and vice versa, mm-hmm. What can he do in your life? What has he already done in your life? Remember a time when he's come through. If you need to keep your mind focused on those things, because we're not here. I think about how emotional and how caught up in my own bondage and past. I don't even know how I'm here today, but for God's grace and his mercy and for my willingness to change, my desire to change, being able to sit through the harsh words, the positive words, being able to change them out. To replace my negatives with my positive, to replace my negative ingredients with my positive ingredients. So as we close, you guys, I hope you've been blessed from this, and I just want to say, remember, a lie may take care of the present, your fault, or living in your false reality. A lie may take care of that temporarily, but a lie has no place. It has no future. You're going to circle back around. Don't you always do? You can go out and try to replace all that with a new car, a new house, a new man, a new woman, going out every night, every day, Facebook, whatever. You can try to replace that lie or cure that lie or keep that lie going through all these entities. But you think about it. It comes back around. It comes a time where you burn out, where you run out, and you feel like, I'm going to seek God, and then you stop. You let all that negative stuff come back again. So don't try to fulfill these negative things with people, places, and things. Work on you. Find out. Seek the truth and demand the truth, and you shall be set free. Demand the truth from people. Speak the truth and validate it. And others will be set free. Speak it to others in love, of course. And remember, when the truth is replaced by silence, the silence is a lie. When you choose not to say anything, the silence is a lie. Okay? So we hope you all have enjoyed the show. You know, I hope this makes you reevaluate your priorities and no longer try to cover up who you are. Be honest with yourself. And deal with the things that you need to deal with, you know, step into your reality, step into your truth, deal with it, and then exchange, replace those negative ingredients, negative words with some positive ingredients and some positive words. Tika, I want to thank you. We have kept you almost 2 hours tonight, and I'm amazed of the number of people that have hung in with us. So we want to say thank you. We want you to really go to somebody tonight and ask them, tell me 3 positive things about me, or 1 or 2, and then ask them to tell you 3 negative things or 3 things they think you can work on, if you want to put it that way, and then ponder on them and then work to change them if you see yourself in that area. Because some of the things that were given to me as negative, I was that at one time. But I know I've moved past some of those. So we want to thank you for listening. Please continue to share the show with others. Move your trash cans. List your ingredients, positive and negatively, and ask someone else to do the same. We love you all. We thank you for listening. And have a wonderful, wonderful night. And tomorrow have a Butterfly Evolution Day. That means do something, step out the box, do something different. Really look for change, and it starts with you. Thank you. You all have a good night.
Tammy.